Welcome everyone to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper into our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to go on a trip with your favourite group of friends.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Friends That Carry On podcast. I am Tony, I'm your host today, and in the Friends That Carry On studios, we have
Jim Scott,
Brian Romine,
Eric Fargo.
Calling in from wonderful Carlisle, Pennsylvania, who we have?
Terry Hall.
There we go. All right, guys. Today, St. Patty's Day.
Getting close.
So let's get the first question out of the way. Is it St. Patty or St. Patty?
It's D-D-Y, isn't it?
Oh, you told me this before, and I've forgotten now.
I'm pretty sure it's D-D-Y.
It is. It is. So it's St. Patrick, but it's St. Padraig is really, really how it goes. So it's P-A-D-D-Y, so just so you know.
So because it's St. Padre?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the official way you say the name St. Patrick. It's like P-A-D-R-A-I-G, I think.
Is that Gaelic?
Padraig?
Something like that. Padraig. So technically it's St. Patty. Okay.
Like Padraig Harrington? Right.
There. Correct.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll assume that's correct.
Wikipedia spells it Patrick, so I was
It's Patrick. It, yeah, that's the terminate, but the original is P-A-D.
Padraig.
Padraig. Yeah.
I didn't realize how, I mean, this was back in 385 A.D. that he lived to
St. Patrick?
75, 76 years old.
And he was an old fart.
That's...
He was a saint.
That's a lot of you. Maybe that's what we all need to do to live a little longer, but...
Well, again, so today we're you know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Probably by the time this actually gets cut out, it will be St. Patty's Day. So we thought we'd talk about several of us have been to Dublin, actually for St. Patty's Day. We've also been to a few other cities, done some celebrating. So thought we'd talk about just the general holiday celebrations across the world, across the United States, with a little extra love for Dublin, of course. So. And speaking of which, let's just jump right into that. Terry, you and Jim are the lucky ones this year who get to go. So you guys are all set to go?
Just about. Unfortunately, it's a small group this year. Jim and I and our buddy Lee and one of his friends. So it's going to be just four of us as opposed to 11 we had the last time.
How many times have you been now, Terry? Or how many times will this be after, when you go this time?
This will be the third trip for St. Patrick's Day, Jim. Fourth, I think, all total to Dublin, but three specifically for St. Patrick's Day.
How long are you going to be there, and what are you going to do differently, and what are you going to do the same?
We're just staying there for two nights, basically because it's so expensive to spend nights in hotels or Airbnbs or whatnot during the holiday. So I think we're paying roughly $700 for two nights in a hotel, but the hotel is right there on Temple Bar area, so it's right in the thick of things. So
is that per person?
Pay for. Excuse me?
Is that per person?
No, $700 for a room,
okay.
Twin rooms. So we get to split it two ways, $350 per person for two nights.
Yeah. So that's about what we paid, Terry, wasn't it, 2 years ago when we were there? Like $300, $350 a piece.
Yeah, that's about the going rate for all the hotels in that area during the holiday there, Tony.
Hey, Terry, and, I'm sorry.
I was just going to follow up on the, you know, so what are
planning.
You doing? What are you doing that's a bit different than the last time you went, or are you doing everything pretty much the same?
Well, with 2 days, there's not a lot that we're going to do except for bar hopping, to be honest with you, Brian. Being there for the fourth time, there's no really things we need to see. And with that short amount of time and flying in the afternoon on the first day, it's going to give us basically 36 hours total. But there are two different ways we did it from 2016, Tony, I think you and I went.
That sounds right.
And 2017 when we went again.
That's when you took my wife.
Wow.
Yes. And thank you, Tony, for that.
We the rest of us didn't know that was an option.
Just got to ask.
It is kind of funny. I think.
Hey, Shelly.
I think Terry and Jim Reed have traveled more with my wife in the last 4 years than I have.
Might say a little bit of something about what she thinks of you, Tony.
I think it pretty much does. But the effects of having a little guy at home. So
any new bars this time, Terry? Are you planning to hit the same, familiar?
We like familiarity.
Say that again three times.
Being familiar. But I don't know, Brian. We'll probably be to the same bars. We like the one we went to the last time, and that's probably where we're going to go.
Is that the Norseman?
Yes, Jim. That was a nice place, don't you think?
No, well, we got there. One of the good things, and this can, if anybody else is going or going in the future, and this was the first time I went, but because Terry and them have been there before, they, because it's actually a bank holiday, the bars aren't allowed to open till noon. So, I mean, St. Paddy's Day, and you're assuming, the crack of dawn, you're drinking and, kegs and eggs and all that kind of stuff.
That's actually the pubs, though, that don't open till noon.
Right, the pubs don't open till noon. So even though there are places you can go and get some drinks, everybody's sort of gathering in the streets. And in the past, because Terry and them have been there before and Tony's with them, they waited to go into the pubs once they open at noon instead of being right there at the door. And then you get stuck, three or four deep from the bar, and it's hard to get a drink. Having that knowledge, when we went, and there were 11 of us, we were right camped out, and when they opened the doors to the Norseman, we were able to go right in, and even though there was 11 of us, we all had a place at the bar. So we took up the whole bar, and it quickly filled in behind us, but we were the best friends with everybody because they had to ask us to order a beer for them. So it made for a great time, but there is some strategy to St. Paddy's Day there in the St. in Temple Bar area.
Yeah, the other thing, too, that we found out is, so the pubs don't open till noon, but if it's not really a traditional pub, more of a bar attached to the hotel, they open earlier. So we figured that out. I guess that was the first trip. We're sitting there eating breakfast, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and look over, and this person walks through this hallway, and they're carrying a Guinness, and I was like, whoa. How'd they get that?
They just asked for it.
So we got up and walked through the hallway, and it attached to the bar. Of course, there was only about five people in there drinking. It is 9 o'clock, but they were. So we got back to the table, and I think somebody said, time to wrap up breakfast. And the next thing you know, we're sitting over at the pub.
And by 10 o'clock, that bar was full.
It was packed, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, we got over there, got just like you were saying, we pulled up a couple stools, but within an hour, a Guinness or two, it was full. And then we stayed there until about noon, and then we went, hopping around. So,
and there's two strategies. The first time with Tony and I, like he said, we did bar hop. We went all the way down to the what's that old pub, Tony?
Brazen Head.
The Brazen Head.
That's it. We started there. We worked our way back up towards Temple Bar. We hit a beer here. We hit a beer there. But this was at noon. The parade goes from 12 to 3, I believe. So the longer in the afternoon that you're out and about, the more crowded the bars are. So by the time 3 o'clock comes, there's 300,000 people that leave the parade and just
thirsty.
Yes.
So find a spot before 3.
It was very hard to get a drink by 3 o'clock.
I think
why we changed strategies the second time around.
The other thing to mention is if you stay in Temple Bar and in the area, at that particular holiday, it lasts all night long. Yeah, there's no closing, and if you're staying there, as I say again, it lasts all night long. So the noise is all night long. The street noises all night long. I remember the first time we stayed there. I stayed with Bill Johnston, and he's like, "Wow, this place never shuts down." I'm like, "Well, it is St. Paddy's Day." I kind of figured.
My question is this: if you're concerned about sleep, why are you sleeping in the Temple Bar area on St. Paddy's Day?
So that's what we're telling you. Don't worry about sleep in these couple of days if you're staying in.
If you can't fall asleep, you didn't have enough Guinness.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. So 300,000 people, are there enough? Is there enough space inside in all of the bars? They just no. have to spill out into the streets. Yeah. There's no choice.
Yeah, I don't know about your all's other trips, but the last time that Terry and I were there, like he was saying, by the time nighttime comes around the Temple Bar area, it's chaos. And so the police, they control traffic, which is kind of wise. They actually run all the street corners. And when, of course, there's bars everywhere on every block. But if that block is too full, you know, if people spilling out onto the street from the bars, they just shut it down. So you can't walk in. So there's some, unless you're sleeping on that block, they're not letting you in there. So you just kind of have to wander around and take the long way around, so to speak. So that's just one of those things to keep in mind, that when it's that time of the night, and this was like 8 o'clock. We're not talking like late. It was 8, 9 o'clock. You're 15, 20 people deep at a bar, so good luck getting a drink. Unless you go to a wine and jazz bar.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
We've talked about it before, but that was just one of those things, again, because we couldn't find a place to get a drink. We needed a nightcap on our way home. I don't know why we started at 7 o'clock in the morning, but hey. You know, one does what one does. So
got to be well-rounded.
Yeah. Terry, have you guys been – did you go back to any of those times?
No, Tony. But I've always thought about it, but just never got around to it yet.
Could you find it, Terry?
The bar, the wine bar,
the speakeasy?
The little app. The speakeasy, I have no way of knowing. I know it's along the river, but it's some little hole in the wall. But that's all I know.
Next to a hot dog stand.
Yeah.
So for somebody that's never been there, what route do you take in, Terry? From the eastern United States, what flights are you taking? Do you have layovers? And then how are you getting into Dublin?
Well, what I do usually, Brian, is I fly into someplace else. This time around, we're flying into Amsterdam, flying home from Paris. For one, I love those two cities. And another, it's cheaper to fly there than it is to fly directly to Dublin for me. So that's even with the connecting flights from Amsterdam to Dublin, Dublin to Paris. So it just adds an extra fun stop for me.
But what's funny, though, Terry, remember on our trip the first time?
Yes.
We were going to Lisbon, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm pretty sure. It's one of those cities. And our flight was actually on the 18th, and we were flying through Dublin to go to Lisbon. And then Terry and I were like, we're literally flying through Dublin on the 18th. What if we can move our flight forward a day or two and just stay in Dublin for St. Patrick's Day? That'd be awesome. So we end up, it was cheaper flight. It was hilarious.
Well, Lisbon's a relatively expensive place to fly into back then, because there are so many less flights to Lisbon. So, you know, that supply and demand, the prices for Lisbon flights are pretty expensive.
Yeah. So it ended up almost being a wash for us. By the time both of our flights, we got a cheaper flight to go like 2 days earlier. It basically paid for our hotel in Dublin. Yeah. Now, it didn't cover our Guinness or Jameson tab, but it
but what would?
Right. And wherever you were, you would have had a tab.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, though. I will say, you know, obviously I've been to a few cities to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but there's something iconic about going to Dublin, obviously, and doing it. Even though that's not really where the celebration started, which is kind of funny, even though St. Patrick's obviously from there, but that's not where the celebration started. But it is kind of cool to go back. It is wild.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm glad I've done it.
It's wild. I mean, I remember they used to say before I'd been there, they don't really celebrate it so much over there. It's not a big thing. It's more of a U.S. holiday and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's somebody who hasn't been there, because I promise you, they celebrate it pretty damn good.
Yeah, we've met a lot of Europeans from all over the Europe.
Really? Is that where Europeans are from?
Yeah.
Very astute.
So, any idea within the country of Ireland, is it celebrated just as heavily throughout the entire country, or is it really focused in Dublin?
That's a good question. Terry, do you have any idea?
I have no idea, Brian.
I don't either.
I'd be honest with you.
That's
I can't
okay.
Get out of Dublin for the,
I,
for
I didn't
the
expect any of you all to know the answer to that question.
It's a good thing you asked it. You got the answer you expected.
At least the answer you deserved.
Well, maybe somebody will look into that.
Now, I do want to ask, because I didn't get to go down to Brazenhead when I was there for, at least not on St. Paddy's Day, but I really love that bar. And that's, for our listeners, that's supposedly the oldest active bar in Ireland, though I know that's disputed.
Definitely the oldest one in Dublin.
It's definitely the oldest one in Dublin going back to 1198. And it's a great bar, and I've loved it every other time I've been there. So how was it on St. Paddy's Day?
Terry, have you been other than that one time we were there?
We got there early.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did the parade was going on. So that whole 12 to 2, like Terry was mentioning, is a great time to, you know, to go into places because you got 300,000 people watching the parade. So when we went in, it was pretty full. So for somebody who hasn't been there, you've been there. So like, you know, when you walk in the little courtyard area, that was probably half full. And then that first main room was about half full, but that's where we sat. We sat right by that bar. Okay. As soon as you walk in.
A big place?
It's multiple rooms.
Yeah, it's segmented. It's an older piece together thing. And each room you go into has a full bar. And then you got this courtyard. So it's really neat, but yeah, it's not one big open.
Imagine the old European, even some of the oldest houses here in the United States. You know, they're smaller rooms, very segmented, not a big open concept. That's
right.
It's basically a bunch of pieces together. Okay. It goes on forever. I mean, you can walk around and go into different rooms and they have a different feel, but the original footprint is the one that's been around since 1198.
Has it been continuously operating since then?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what they've said, though, is there was fires, right, as you can imagine, over 800, 900 years. But the original framework and where it stands has always been an operating bar. So it's pretty cool.
They're committed.
Cool. Oh, they're committed.
But it is a little bit out of the off the beaten path.
It is.
Brian.
It is.
It's not quite on Temple Bar. It's
you have to walk.
Maybe a kilometer and a half.
Yeah, away. I would say a good 20-minute walk from Central Temple Bar area
down the river.
Down the river.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe give our listeners an idea of how to dress when they go this time of year.
Wear green.
Is it cold? Is it warm?
I was going to say wear green.
Wear green. Yeah.
Well, one thing about Dublin, it's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
It's usually in the mid 50s and cloudy.
Yeah.
March. Always cloudy.
Yeah. You know, you say that, but Terry, I don't know if you remember when we got in. We got in about 7:30 in the morning. Less than them arrived at like 5:30 in the morning. It had rained all night. But literally when we landed, the sun came out and it was gorgeous all day long. It was sunny, bright, like 70 degrees. And people were like, this isn't normal, by the way. I'm like, wow, this is spectacular. It was awesome. It was a gorgeous
Tony,
day.
That's because of you. You're a little drop of sunshine.
Well, as soon as everybody else realizes that, the better off we all are.
Terry, it's the first time those words have ever been spoken in that order.
I'm sure the rainbow came out, and he was the bottom with the pot of gold.
With the Lucky Charms.
I have a question about, can you get, I don't remember, we took a Sandman tour when we were there, and we were there for St. Paddy's Day, so maybe we did it the day before? Is that
we did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So Sandman tours are available for the city itself, which is a good way to familiarize yourself with the city
right
before St. Paddy's Day and everything goes
exactly
crazy.
And another thing to our listeners, if you haven't been there, we keep talking about Temple Bar, so you would assume that's a bar there, which it is, but Temple Bar is also an area or a district, and it's near the university and down along the river, but it's also where a number of bars and restaurants are.
Yeah. And then, I apologize.
I'm sorry, the population of Dublin. Any idea? Well, I was just curious. You said, it has a university.
Google, what's the population?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a major, European city. I don't know the population off the top of my head without Googling it, but it's a port city. It's the main city one of the main cities in Ireland. It's good size.
Okay.
I'm looking.
It's definitely a blue collar town, though.
It's fun though. There's a lot of stuff going on. I was going to say, just from a traveling perspective, if you do go to Dublin for St. Paddy's Day, keep in mind, depending on when you arrive, like Terry and I, our flight landed, like I said, around 7 o'clock. There was another flight flying through that landed in about 5 a.m. So as you can imagine, for a major parade or a major event, they start shutting down blocks. So depending on where you're staying, you may have to trek a good ways to get to your hotel if you're arriving the day of. So if you get in on the 16th, you're probably okay. But when we got there that morning, luckily we were staying only about 2 or 3 blocks in at the beginning of the Temple Bar area. So cabbie dropped us off and we only had to walk like 3 blocks. But if you're in the heart, truly in the heart of Temple Bar, you have to
walk. Even the day before, Lust was with us and me and Teresa and him, and he was at a different hotel, but there were still some stuff blocked off as they were getting ready for the day before. It was the 16th, but so not that we had long walks like you would on the 17th, but it's still the cabbie had to do some maneuvering around.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind if you're staying down there.
Okay. Terry, are you right where the parade will be, where you're staying?
No, Brian. We're about 1 block away from the parade, but also just 1 block from the Temple Bar area. So I've never seen a parade. We walked along with the parade for like 3 or 4 blocks. Tony and I did our first trip. But
that was only to get to a bar, right?
We were going to, but again, the parade is popular.
Is it so 3 hours long? Did I hear you
right? It's
long.
It's a couple hours, but it was so deep. I mean, it's the people are in line, and you're 14, 15 people deep, so you can't see it. So we were walking. We were actually going to try to watch it for a little bit, and then we just gave up. We were like, hell with that. Let's go find a bar.
So do you have any – well, you haven't watched it, so you may not know the answer to this, but is it like the Macy's Day Parade? I mean, are there major sponsors and big balloons
I got to see a little bit of it on TV at the bar we were at.
Do they have a Jameson balloon?
So let me get this straight. You're in Dublin.
In Dublin.
Watching on TV the parade in Dublin?
Right, which the parade was going just on sure. Just outside, less than a block away.
All the TVs show it in all the bars.
Yeah, they show it in the bar. So I did not see any large balloons. I'm not saying they weren't, because I was more focused on Guinness than the TV. But it seemed more like a local parade, your band, your floats, your political people or famous people, for Dublin, riding in their little cars and waving. And so it seemed more like a very large local parade. Does that make sense?
I'm sure they have a grand marshal.
I mean, obviously
every
a lot
year,
of people dressed up in costumes and that type of stuff. But, that was the impression I got. Like I said, I'm not sure how many Guinness deep I was. At that point, but
what time of the day was it?
That's my memory.
It's funny. I remember.
Wait, you started at what time in the morning?
It was in the morning
at 9 o'clock, and it was 3 o'clock, and 2 per hour or 3 per hour. Yeah, we could probably figure it out, but I won't put you through that.
I remember the people coming into the bar after the parade was over, and they were wound up.
Oh my!
They were wound up
even before the parade.
So they were wound up, ready to go, and ready to drink and have fun, and that's what makes it fun, really. Even though it's so crowded everywhere, and you're like, but it's just so fun, and it's an experience not many people get to experience.
Well, everybody's upbeat
and
excited. There weren't a bunch of fights and stuff.
No,
everybody's excited. I mean, definitely met a few young Americans who had been partaking, college people that
for a very long time.
That had been going at it for quite some time and needed a little help here and there, but
they weren't quite as experienced.
Not nearly.
Don't act like you guys have never been there.
Oh, we were, but it's just been 30 years ago.
We've learned from our mistakes.
Well, some of us.
No, we don't.
By the way, Eric found the population 1.36 million.
As of 2018. Right. Yeah, I don't know what it is now, but and that's Dublin proper, I'm sure.
Now, and one thing we were talking about being a blue-collar town, which it is, but Google and a bunch of high-tech
Apple
have gone in there because of some trade agreements that have happened over the last decade or two. And you're seeing a lot of those old sections are being torn down and built into tall, not skyscrapers like New York City, but, you know, 10, 12-story buildings, which is tall for Dublin. Like I said, it's a more blue-collar city.
A lot of high-tech jobs in Dublin.
Well, not to get too sidetracked, but Ireland's a great tax location, so that makes sense. Right.
Therein lies the reason those guys are there.
So, Terry, do you anticipate any different challenges getting in this year because of the whole Brexit issue and the soft border versus hard border? And have you heard anything about that, or you think it's going to be pretty similar?
Just his own legs working properly.
This year, Brian. Next year might be a different story, but there won't be any issues this year for that. As long as the planes are running, which that could be an issue.
I was going to say,
that's a whole other topic.
We're in the middle of the old coronavirus. So who knows what's going to happen over there.
I saw where you lost one of your travel mates already to fear of it. I mean, he's got surgery after coming back, which is why he doesn't want to take a chance. But I saw where they dropped out today.
Unfortunately. And I can't blame him because of the operation in 2 days once he was scheduled to get home. But
I would change my surgery date.
To go.
That's what I would do. I'm like, sorry, you're going to push back my surgery. I got places to go.
Well, I understand why he did it, but I concur with Tony, at least from my philosophy. But it is, I mean, it is something you got to take those things into consideration. But I agree with you, Terry. I mean, take the normal safety precautions, wash hands and that type of stuff, and be aware of your surroundings. But don't, at this point, unless it's death is imminent, I would proceed with my travel plans as long as they let me.
So we can definitely jump back onto Dublin, but I wanted to talk about a few other cities too. So this, the whole celebration started as a Catholic feast, right? That with a parade in the 18th century, and now it just exploded into multiple cities across the globe.
What city did you say it started at?
I actually don't know specifically which city. I'm pretty sure that the celebration itself started in the United States.
That would make sense.
Yeah. But what's funny is, I honestly just researched this a couple days ago. 32 million people claim Irish heritage, which is pretty impressive considering there's only 7 million people in Ireland. So it's just... Right. It's just funny, right?
They get off the island, don't they?
Yeah, but we do know in the United States there is a very, very large Irish population. I have a pretty strong lineage back to Ireland, about 40%. So
I'm about at that percentage as well. Yeah. I'm pretty high.
So hence, if you're watching our YouTube channel here, you'll see, we have our little tchotchkes a lot of times we bring. We got our Irish flag. We also have a very big half-gallon bottle of Jameson Irish whiskey.
Want some, Terry?
Sure.
Now, Terry, I will say this. This is the United States version of Jameson. And this is what's hilarious. And it's also sad. I didn't realize this until we were there. We're jumping back into Dublin now. They keep the good shit for themselves. Let's be clear. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Right. The varieties of Jameson that you can get in Ireland is just insane. So yeah.
Like 8, 9 different varieties.
Oh, more than that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was crazy. So, but anyway, that's what we're celebrating today with a little bit of a Irish whiskey. But anyway, so there's huge, huge celebrations across the United States. I mean, Chicago is big. Boston's big. Savannah, Georgia is big. But there's celebrations across every place. Hell,
I brought it in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and it's huge down there.
I did. I'll pull this up real quick. They've kind of got now some of the top 10 places now in the United States as far as celebrations. So, Chicago, Boston, Philly, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Naperville, Illinois.
Wow, where'd that come?
I didn't see that coming.
Right. Well, who would?
Right.
I don't even know where Naperville is, but.
It's probably close to Chicago.
Now it's on my list, though. I think we should go check it out. Of course, New York, Buffalo, Cleveland. Of course, we mentioned Savannah, but a lot of cool places. And real quick, so Jim, your daughter, mm-hmm. oldest daughter, has made it like a little mission, right? She's checking out some cool cities.
It seems to be. I guess she didn't fall too far from the tree. But, yeah, last year she went to Savannah with a group of friends mm-hmm. for St. Patty's Day. And of According to her, the River Street is where the main festival occurs, and everybody's able to walk around down there. They got open containers, tons of bars along the water, and then obviously the traditional St. Patrick's Day parade. Of course, said you need wristbands to be in the area, but there's vendors, free stuff, food, and apparently, and then they add green to their fountains down there.
I love the city. We you haven't been yet, right?
No, no, I need to go.
Shelley and I actually went for our wedding anniversary and just absolutely love that city and want to go back. And I think that'd be a great place to visit for St. Patty's Day.
Right. Right.
And then definitely hit down for that.
Lauren's going to Chicago this year. So she's going and according to her, they're having, obviously they have a big parade on Columbus Drive. Starts at Saturday at noon. And then they're going on a 2-hour booze cruise in the morning since they make the river there green. So I guess they'll be getting, well, they'll probably start sooner than 10 a.m., but that's what time the river cruise is. And then after that, they're playing up here, but sounds like a good time.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Chicago, too.
Mm-hmm.
What a great time to go.
I was surprised that Lithuania, although it's not a national holiday in Lithuania, the Vilnia River is dyed green there.
Have you looked in and seen one of the top spots is Montserrat?
Oh, really? I did not see that.
For St. Patrick's Day?
In the Caribbean.
Oh, in the Caribbean.
Little island, Emerald Isle. Oh. It's one of the only other places in the world where it's a national holiday because it's such a huge, you know, movement of Irish from Ireland into...
A lot of Irish expats there.
That live there. It's truly a national holiday. It's a 10-day festival.
Oh.
Wow.
Holy.
That might need to make the list.
I was going to say that.
That is on the list now.
Right?
Again, I just found this out. What is today? Friday? It's Thursday. Yeah, I think it was Thursday. I was looking up some stuff. I was because I don't know the international cities. I was like, well, there's got to be other places in the world that celebrate this. You know, not just the United
Russia,
States.
Bosnia.
Sydney, they said, is one of the biggest places to celebrate. Of course, Sydney celebrates everything.
Yeah, I was going to say the Australians, they don't need a reason.
Not the ones we've met.
No, we've met a few.
Of course, you know,
they say everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Right. This is true. You know, even our own little town, I mean, we're from Little Shepherdstown, West Virginia. It's fun here. I mean, it's amazing how many people take off work the 17th and the 18th.
Sure, why not?
Probably a lot more on the 18th.
Terry, anything going on in Carlisle for St. Patty's Day? Do you know? You won't be there, but...
I'm never in Carlisle St. Patrick's Day. Seriously, I'm always traveling on that week.
Right.
That's Terry's birthday.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's your birthday, man. That's you're always out of town.
This is a big birthday, isn't
Happy
it?
Happy early birthday.
Big 35? 35 again, yeah. Right?
Big 6-0.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Wowee.
Hey, Tony Price is going to be the big 5-0.
Right?
So. I've already turned 5-0.
Not going to be.
That's right. I was there.
I was going to say, don't you remember? We were literally in Vietnam.
He doesn't remember anything. He's going to be 60.
I got sang happy birthday to by a Vietnamese bartender at 12:30 in the morning.
That's a fun little video. Everybody's happy singing.
Wait a second. There's a video of that?
That's for private eyes.
I'll send it later, Brian.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
It's just some random. I mean, we're literally standing in the bar at 12:30 in the morning, you know, because we just stayed out because we were flying out the next day. So we were just staying out for a little birthday celebration. And
we had to go after midnight, so it's Tony's birthday before he flew home.
Yeah. And then it's one of the people that Jim Reed and Terry had met for last couple of years, and we were all in there, and of course we said, hey, it's my birthday. And so she literally shut down the music and had them play happy birthday to me at 12:30 in the morning.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive.
I do need to see that.
It is pretty funny. Yeah. Terry had to record it.
Yeah. With Jimmy Reed having off on spring break that week, normally, we always travel somewhere. So that just happens to be, I'm somewhere in the world for St. Patrick's Day. So I've experienced it in Copenhagen. Moscow had a big one. And yeah, it's just pretty neat just seeing different places like that.
Was it snowy in Moscow? It was, wasn't it, when you were there for St. Patrick's Day?
It was 22 degrees Fahrenheit. A little bit of snow, but just cold. Very cold. But it was a cool, great time. And we found a couple Irish pubs. And there's a big walking street. And there's a lot of people partying, wearing the green. and things like that.
So, Terry, what would you say is your, having been to those numerous places on or about St. Paddy's Day, was your either most memorable or favorite, or both?
Jim, I'd have to say our trip to Dublin with the 11 of us had to be the best, just because of the people we had with us.
I'm not taking any offense to that whatsoever.
I'm guessing you weren't there, Tony.
I wasn't.
His wife, though, was, though.
So I was there by proxy, I guess. I don't know.
With us, so yeah. That made it all the better.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We had half a price.
Now I'm
with
really
us.
Not taking any offense to it.
Yeah, looking back over the pictures of all the St. Patrick's Days and everything, I'd have to say that trip to Dublin in 2017, everybody's smiling, everybody's having a great time. You're there with your buds who you've known for all these years, and it was just, that was special.
There's a really great photograph of us in the bar that was below our hotel, and there must be 13 of us sallied up on that bar. Maybe, I don't know how many were there. 11, my bad. So, and the whole bar is full of all of us. No, everyone else is behind us, and we're handing beers behind us to everyone else because we're not going to give those seats up.
Right.
Well, Shelley tells me it was one of the best things for her, you know, because when you go to Dublin, kind of like when we went to Oktoberfest, you don't think anything but beer, but she doesn't drink beer. And when y'all sat down at that whole bar, they're like, oh, we can give you wine. And she's like, the first glass, they gave me in a wine glass. It's like, then they came back and they literally took a pint and filled it full of wine and gave it to her. She's like, huh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they were like, eh, why not?
I mean,
we did have a very good bartender.
Yeah.
I forget his name now. He took care of us
yeah.
in an incredible way. And then we went back next year. We were asking, or next time we were there, or anyhow, he had been let go. So, but he took great care of us.
Probably because he was filling up pint glasses with wine.
It could be.
The cool thing
how
about
how many glasses you get out of a bottle of wine when you pour it in pint glasses.
The cool thing about it was the way they had them set up on the bar. Now, for those of you out there that have never seen a Guinness properly poured, they pour every single one in Ireland properly over the spoon, slow, so it, and they let the foam come up. So they don't just pour the beer and give it to you in a matter of minutes.
It's a two-step pour.
Yeah, it's a two-step pour, and it's going to take some time to get your beer. So they know that the people are coming in droves, so they would line the beers up and fill them up so far.
That's
and let
the initial
them all
pour.
The foam work down, and then they'd go back and top them off, and there would be 30 of them, and it wouldn't take long for them to disappear. That's the only way they can do it. I mean, they know the people are coming, so let's pre-pour, and that's what they did. I have great photographs of. I can just remember being there and saying, "Oh my God, look at all that beer on that bar," you know.
I know we've said before, but the Guinness, I can't imagine here in America drinking more than two Guinness without just being stuffed because it's a heavy beer. But it was no problem having 10, 12, maybe 15. I'm not sure pints.
And everybody says that.
And it's silky, it's smooth, it goes down easy, never felt bloated.
No. I remember Les.
Not heavy.
Les is definitely a diehard, right? He does not drink
that
kind of beer.
He's a
Coors Light guy.
Coors Light. So I remember him thinking, oh, I don't want to drink this. And he had that first one, and it was the funniest thing. It was one of those, it feels so good when it hits your lips. It's so good. I'm like, oh, my God, really?
He's been converted.
Les is a friend of ours that's how tall? 6'8"?
He's 6'5", and depending on the time of year, could be 350 to 400 pounds.
Offensive lineman, Virginia Tech, yeah. Big guy. Yeah.
Could put a lot of
beer
down.
But he was pretty funny, though.
And drinks Coors
Light. It was hilarious, though, that when we walked in there, and he was like, oh, my God, that's so good.
He watches his girlish figure.
Yeah. He was on top of it that week.
Yeah. Now, Terry, you had mentioned that in some of the pictures. One of the pictures that stands out to me from that trip is Bill Johnston with the cop and going over there and getting the cop's hat on his head and having a good time and cracking up with him. I just that picture and of course the cop uniforms and their hats just sort of stood out for me as significant of how good a time it was and how everybody's kind of laid back. The cops were relaxed and having a good time too. So it was pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah, I really like that picture too.
Yeah, that was a good trip.
It'd be great to get that one up on the website.
Yeah, if you get a copy of it. Where that thing is? Who took that?
Well, that's coming down your way right now.
Oh, there we go. Cool. All right, Terry. Cool.
Hey, Terry. Also, I don't know if you guys went into it in any of your other trips, but what's the bar that's only about within the same block of the Brazen Head? That is it
across the street?
The O'Malley, right, Maryland.
Well, the governor, the former governor of Maryland, O'Malley's got a stained glass picture of him on the wall in there.
Is that O'Malley's Pub? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. It might be. They knew him. The owners knew him, so I don't know if it's named O'Malley's.
But it was pretty crazy. I didn't know about this, and I don't know if anybody else knew about it. We walk into the bar, and we're like, what? I mean, we obviously recognize him because Maryland's right next to our state. And like, why does this dude have a stained glass in the middle of this bar in Dublin? It's crazy.
No,
did you ever find out what the?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay, Brian. I don't mind being interrupted.
Slow your roll.
I had gone there in 2010 with Jeremiah and Yank, and that was one of the first bars we went into. And it was the middle of the day. We'd just gotten in off the plane, and there was nobody in there. And we walked in on the side that was the restaurant side, and then we see the stained glass picture, and it says, you know, Governor O'Malley, Maryland. I'm like, what? So we finally walk over, and there was nobody on that side of the building. So we went over to the other side, and only a couple people at the bar, and they're like, yeah, the owner knows this guy, and is originally from the States, and and loved him, and he's actually been there also, so they did the stained glass
picture. That's pretty cool, though. I will say, though, that place holds a little special for me because that was the first place I had Jameson in Dublin. So before that, we'd had Guinness, of course, and then we were doing our little crawl like Terry was talking about. We went out to the Brazen Head and all that kind of stuff. And when we got there, it was one of those things. That's when Eric, we were talking about the different varieties. It was like when we were walking from the restaurant side back to that area where that stained glass is, there's this little small bar, maybe 6 feet wide, giant glass shelves behind it. And it's just nothing but varietals of Jameson. And I was like,
that you've never seen before.
And no. And you felt the need to work your way through all of them.
It's like 1 o'clock, St. Patrick's Day. It's like, should we have one? I think we shall.
You've never tasted
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we had a couple different ones, but it was delicious.
Nice. I got another good story from there. From that same time we went in and saw the stained glass. Like I said, there's only a few people there. And we had just gotten to Ireland. It's my first time in Ireland. And over in the corner was your stereotypical little, very old Irishman who's looked like he's around 80, like the little guy from Benny Hill, if you remember Benny Hill. That was his little sidekick.
Benny Hill.
And his name was Paddy.
Of course it was.
And he had a little shot in front of him. He was drinking it, and he was a character, a bit of a curmudgeon. And, you know, he'd talk to us across the bar, and then, you know, get up and kind of limp to, I guess, to the restroom or whatever. So we got talking to the bartender. He's like, hey, he comes in every day. Because of his health, he's only allowed 2 drinks per day, 2 shots. But he'll come in and have his 2 shots and sit there for a few hours and whatever. But, I mean, he was truly stereotypical older Irishman, little, you know, not leprechaun, but just little old Irish guy named Paddy. So it set the tone for our trip.
Did you make it to the little outside area they have?
I don't think so. No, we didn't go in the back.
Terry, do you remember that part? So here's what's funny. So that I remember, we didn't, when we were at the Brazen Head, I didn't buy a t-shirt, right? It was one of those things that didn't think about it. I'm like, oh, shit. And then we went over and we went to that bar. And again, I don't remember the name of it.
I know. I've got it written somewhere. And I think I've talked about it before.
The Merchant.
Merchant, that's it. And then they have like it's almost like a carport area that's outside where the stained glass is. It's a little outside area, and we went out there and sat because, again, it was so nice outside, and that was fresh air. We just went out there and set plastic tables. We have this issue of sitting around plastic tables, apparently, and drinking beer, but hey. So we're sitting there, and then we realized, like, oh, shit, we didn't get a t-shirt. And Les was like, I'll go get them, and he just ran across and picked up our t-shirts. But we did 2 shots of Jameson sitting out there, and it was just like one of those things. It was like, this is just crazy. We're sitting in a little plastic table in a carport structure outside of a bar that's been here for 400 years on St. Patrick's Day in Dublin. That's one of those moments where you're just kind of like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's one of those life don't suck moments.
It absolutely is.
Right.
I can remember beads. They gave away beads, and you didn't have to wear green because they gave you green beads and all that. You know, Bud Light sponsors or well, not Bud Light, but well, they were some beer sponsors.
You could get hats and all kinds of little stuff. Right. I remember getting a real little hat.
Yeah, right. Little Irish,
maybe you just have a big head.
Some say that, but anyhow, they gave a lot of that. It was real festive. You're right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you think there, Mr. Fargo?
Do you have something to say?
We're about the foodie segment.
Yeah, the food. So we're going to go. Have we talked about the meal that we had in Marrakesh the first night we stayed there?
No.
Okay,
not
good.
In detail.
You guys can help me with it on the detail. But sure. I can remember we get into Marrakesh, and they had told us that we had a cook that would cook for us. And I think it was a little extra, but it wasn't an exorbitant amount. So we're like, yeah, we want them to cook for us. And they cooked several dinners for us. I can remember the first dinner, the first night, they cooked it in a traditional, what they call a tangine, which is a clay pot that sits it's like a teepee that sits on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it covers the food. And they just slow cook around coals all the vegetables and the meat that's inside of it, and makes a great gravy. And they cook it, you know, for a long time. What else did we have? They cooked meat and potatoes in there, and they made – what else did they make?
Oh, my goodness. That – well, we have some great pictures, and we'll definitely put it up on the video before it goes up. But the – that whole table spread.
Right.
I mean, the mixtures of fresh vegetables with, of course, what you would think about of Moroccan spices.
Saffron,
turmeric, rice, the colors, and it was just one of those moments when you sit down and you're like, because we talked about when we walked into that place, how, what?
Right.
You're in the middle of this spectacular place in the middle of not so spectacular, right? It was just awesome.
Of a neighborhood, right.
Yeah. And then you sat down at this table and they served this unbelievable food.
Oh, it was wonderful. The chicken, meat, lamb.
Yeah.
You know, and they cooked it all. And and there was 11 of us on that trip, weren't there?
Jeremiah and
oh, they weren't on that. So there's 9 of us there.
They weren't on that leg.
Yeah, they weren't on that leg. You remember that dinner, don't you, Terry?
Yes, I do, Eric.
You remember anything specific from it as far as what we ate? And I just remember the spread, and everything was really good. And I was very impressed with the layout and the food and the way they cooked it. And it was memorable for me.
Yes, it was. Especially during Ramadan. Yeah, and our landlord or the owner of the Riyadh suggested us eating our first night at the Riyadh because we'd have no way to really get out and eat into the city that night. So that was a good call by him.
Yeah, was a really
that place
good call.
Was awesome. It truly was.
That's my foodie experience. I will never forget that one. It was really neat.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So that's
back,
our food.
Back to Ireland.
Back to St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
So the rest of us don't get this wonderful opportunity to go back across the pond like somebody else on the call, but you guys got any plans? Eric, what are you going to do for St. Patrick's Day this year?
I don't have any. Last year I was in South Florida, so I celebrated it in Fort Lauderdale. I have a friend that lives down there. She invited me down to the parade, and they have a big parade. It was a huge parade. She has a little boy, and he enjoyed it. And they block off streets just like everywhere else does, and make all the traditional foods and the what do they always have? The Irish food.
Corned beef
and hash and all that, and mm-hmm. the corned beef sandwiches, and they were excellent on the rye bread, and it was a nice celebration in South Florida. They do it up, Fort Lauderdale.
Jim, what about you? You got any plans?
Not yet, but doing this podcast, it makes me think. I'm currently hosting a Bolivian exchange student, and I have no idea whether they celebrate St. Patty's Day or not. But I guess I'm going to talk to her and see, and then maybe we might have to do something special for St. Patty's Day, at least locally, so she can get a flavor of it. But at the moment, I don't have anything planned.
Yeah, no plans for me either this year.
Yeah, so it falls like on a Tuesday or something?
We have to have FOMO through Terry and Jim.
Oh, yeah. We will.
I say you guys are
and
losers.
Lee.
We're what?
You're losers.
This year we are. Losers this year.
Yeah.
Keep thinking that, huh, Terry?
I wish you guys were with us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thanks for rubbing that in.
Yeah, thanks
now,
for
Terry, on
it.
Your trip, you're going into Amsterdam first, right? How long are you there?
We're there 3 nights, Jim. 2 in Dublin and 4 nights in Paris.
Now, I know this has nothing to do with St. Paddy's Day, and that's what we're talking about today, but I saw where you brought up their national drink. Was it Genevieve or Genevieve?
Oh, my God. Genevieve.
Genevieve.
And that stuff is just so
delicious.
Yes, that was the word I was going to say.
Gasoline.
But I noticed Terry always makes sure he does at least a shot or two with whoever he's with. So, Terry, do you want to talk about that a little bit? I guess you're fascinated with it, or maybe you like turpentine? I'm not sure.
I think he's a masochist.
Jim, I hate the stuff. But it's the traditional drink in Amsterdam, and for the Dutch, I guess, overall. And it was the precursor to gin. It's made out of the juniper berry, and it more or less it tastes like you're chewing on a juniper tree.
And let's be clear, if you run out of gas, you can pour that straight into your gas tank.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
You can find it all over Amsterdam. There's bars that specialize in it. There's tastings to do of all the different types. And it's just a traditional drink that I drank, I don't know, maybe my first or second trip to Amsterdam. And it's just something I just do for tradition. Basically, that's it.
I think you do it to torment whoever's traveling with you. I know the first time I had it, obviously I was with you, and we went in there, and I'm like, you know, I've heard and had a lot of bad shots, a lot of bad drinks, and, you know, it's not usually as bad as they say. That was pretty rough.
That
one, I'm not going
to
lie.
That one lives up to it, doesn't it? It's one of those you're like, what in the hell is that?
How did they make this the national drink? Or better yet, how did they not replace it?
Yeah, why do they keep making it?
It's a Dutch. Who knows?
I know. But anyhow, I saw a post. I knew you were going there, so it's top of mind, so I brought it up.
It is pretty spectacular. Pretty terrible.
It's probably a tradition that goes back hundreds of years, and they just that was all that they made.
Oh, no doubt.
There's something about tradition. Mm-hmm. There's some reasons why traditions go away too.
Yes, that
might be one of them that should have. Wow, it is like a fire starter, man. It is.
I think the tradition actually started during the wars with Napoleon. They call it the Dutch courage, and you know the soldiers would take a couple shots before battle. And that gave them the Dutch courage to fight the war.
Yeah,
well, I would see that. A couple shots of that make me want to fight.
I'll fight you not to do another one.
Exactly. I'm winning this fight and get the hell out of here.
I hate you guys.
Oh, we love you, buddy. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. So, yeah, we had to find something else. I mean, I don't know if I'll probably just go over to the Mecklenburg this year. I mean, it is on a Tuesday, so it's not like weekend time or anything like that. But
the Mecklenburg is a pub here in Shepherdstown, our hometown.
Yeah, great little place. Hopefully, there'll be nice weather, and they always do something nice, and it's fun. But it's one of it's one of my favorite holidays, I have to say, just because it's always an upbeat, good-feeling. There's no massive amounts of spending money, you know what I mean? It's not like huge presents, any kind of this made-up thing to do, you know what I mean? It's just kind of fun. It's a good time, and it's a good excuse. The weather's usually nice. The weather's breaking. It's just fun. It's good times. It's always like St. Patrick's Day.
It's a good spring holiday.
It is. It's just
a
great
sets
fun.
It off.
You're right. Sets off spring.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, at least, and I'm sure this is everywhere, not just D.C., but, you know, kegs and eggs.
Kegs and eggs, yeah.
So there's a lot of different things that go on, but it's really cool that so many, whether it's a big city, little town like Shepherdstown, everybody celebrates it. And it's easy, like you said, it's easy to celebrate. It's not that, I mean, I guess it is commercialized to a degree, but it's just an easy thing to celebrate because you don't have to get a bunch of presents, whatever. Wear some green, throw up some shamrocks, and start pouring beer or whatever.
You know, you just gave me a great idea. You know what I might do this year? I've never made it. I might actually try to make corned beef. I've never made it. I might actually try to make it and see how it turns out.
If you make it, I'll eat it.
Okay.
I'll bring it by. With cabbage?
With cabbage, yeah. I'll just you know, make it.
We have Jameson. If you want to bring it over here, we'll...
See, this is how it happens, folks. This is how it happens.
You can make your own recipe and soak it in Jameson before you, you know, while you're cooking in your slow cooker.
Jim, I like the way you think, buddy.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
That's a good daggone idea.
Then you can take the rest of it and deglaze it and bring it down and make like a sauce.
Jameson infused corned beef. That's a damn good idea, brother.
I bet no Irishman's never thought of that.
They're like, that's what we do on Tuesdays.
They usually have their Jameson separate.
Right. Why are you going to ruin Jameson by putting it on corned beef?
Yeah, we use Guinness for that.
I won't use too much. I'll use maybe an ounce and a half or two, maybe.
I'll splash it and shoot the rest of it.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know what kind of flavor it would render, but anyway, thanks for the idea, guys. I appreciate awesome. That.
That's what we're
I
here
probably
for.
Will do that.
Yeah.
Now I got to go buy the beef.
Yeah,
well, that awesome. Could maybe your next time we talk about St. Patty's Day, that can be your foodie segment.
Next year.
Your own makeup.
Hope I can remember it that far.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So again, I'm excited for Terry. I'm excited for you guys to take your trip. It's awesome. We're all disappointed that we don't get to go with you.
We will have FOMO.
Oh, definitely, we'll be suffering.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry.
I wish you guys were with me.
You don't really, but that's okay.
I don't.
So make sure you share the F Ribble photos that I'm sure will be generated.
Riddle.
Or is it F Riddle?
Riddle.
In Ireland.
They will be out.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. Well, I guess, we're pretty close to wrapping up. I will say, so next couple episodes, we have some really cool guests. Mm-hmm. Aqua Chigger.
The Aqua Chigger. For those of you that don't know who the Aqua Chigger is, he is a metal detecting guru and a what do they call him? Treasures. He's a treasure hunter, right? Is what he does. He's been doing it for years. He has over a million subscribers on YouTube, and we're excited to have him. He's one of our fraternity brothers, and he's a relic hunter. That's what he would call himself. I'm sorry. And, I'm excited about the Aqua Chigger.
Yeah. So is it aqua because he does it in water as well?
He mainly does do it in water. He has a knack for it, man. He just has a knack for it. You know, when you do things for so long, you know where, you know, he studies the lay of the land and where things may wash out, and he finds. Oh, you should see the things that
he has
finds.
Quite kind of crazy. Quite a subscriber base on YouTube, right?
It's over a million. Oh, yeah,
over a million.
It was funny. Is this is one of the crazy like small little stories? Terry Hall and I coming back from Pamplona, staying in Madrid on our return trip to the States. We're in our little Airbnb that has no, you know, it just has Wi-Fi. So. Okay, we'll just throw on Netflix and, you know, on our YouTube, and we're like, hey, I don't know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Let's just watch a little Bo Wimet on Aqua Chigger.
Wow.
Right? We're drinking some cava, right, from one of the trips that we found this bottle of cava from one of our trips in Barcelona, and we found it at a little neighborhood store, and we're sitting in our little room drinking this, watching Bo. And it's just kind of funny. It was like, this is a little surreal, right? But yeah, it's awesome. It's just kind of funny to see where he is. But what's going to be interesting is talk to him about travel as it relates to that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's taken him all over the globe. Mm-hmm. You know, people travel for different reasons, and this would be interesting to talk to him about how that
and his experience.
He'll fit right in, I think, because, like I said, he travels extensively throughout the country and Europe, and it's taken him to Russia and all over Europe. And, you know, we can really get his travel. You know, somebody has to set that up. Either his wife does or he does. And there's a lot to it. I know he has to be certain places.
Looking forward to that. So who's the – and then we have another guest on Friday.
And then after that we got John Hemingway, Ernest Hemingway's grandson, son of Ernest's youngest son, Gregory, who Jim and I guess Terry was also there.
Jim Reed was there.
Eric was there when we met him back in 2013 on our first trip to Pamplona. But he released a book, Bacchanalia, back in December, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a Pamplona story, and it's a great read. You know, we're going to probably discuss that with him and, you know, whatever else he would like to discuss, you know. So it's it'd be fun, it'd be good to catch up. And then I highly recommend the book, definitely. I mean, Brian, we were talking, I'd be curious to hear somebody who reads it, who's never been to Pamplona. You know, Jim and I are reading it, or have read it, and it was one of those, it felt like a little bit walk down memory lane bit.
Yeah, it was very familiar. All the places, the stops, the time characters. Of day you stop at the places, and the characters. We definitely knew some of the characters.
Right.
Literally. Though it's fictitious, it's a novel.
Yeah, so it'd be fun to talk to him. It'd be exciting to talk to him. I think he's right. When is today?
Today's Friday.
Friday, yeah. So he is on a little bit of a trip, I think, through Florida.
Oh, is he?
A little bit of a book tour. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I saw he was even at his grandfather's house.
Yeah. For a little bit. Yep, he did that. And he's doing from the. Oh, well, the distillery that does the rum.
Oh, that's right. The Hemingway. It's Hemingway.
Yep. So they're doing it from there. I don't know if he's still going to be in Key West when we talk to him or not, but we'll find out.
Not sure.
Okay. Those of you that have any questions that you might have want us to ask Aqua Chigger or John Hemingway, let us know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you have any, we might ask it. We might not. I don't know.
Yeah. Go to the website and find our email. Register and send us a question if you have anything you want us to ask them specifically.
Yep. Hit it up on our website, friendsthatcarryon.com. And then, of course, all of your social media. Just search for Friends That Carry On. Instagram,
Twitter,
Facebook. Whatever that is, just search for Pinterest. Friends That Carry On. You'll find it. Yep. What else we got? Anything else?
I think that covers most of the other one.
Terry, what do you got?
I was just going to say, if you go to Dublin for St. Patrick's Day, you want to plan and book the hotel at least 9 or 10 months out if you want inside the city in Temple Bar area. If you wait until September, October, you might end up staying at the airport like some of our friends did.
and then we just put them in a car and send them home at like 8 o'clock with their hands against the window going, why are you sending me home? Well, because you're staying at the airport. But that's good advice, Terry. We've talked about this before and we should reiterate it. If you're going to one of the major festivals or events, you know, especially annual events that happen, you know, there's a lot of places you can book 9 months, 12 months out that have great cancellation policies, just like we did with this year for Oktoberfest. Now, we're not canceling because we're all going, right? But you book well in advance, and then if you don't go, then you cancel it. But if you do go, you got your place, because if you wait 6 months in, you're right.
You're way out of town.
You're not going to be happy.
Yeah, good advice.
So.
And one other thing, if you go to St. Patrick's Day there and you plan to leave on the 18th, you got to realize Dublin, it's on an island. So you're probably going to have to fly. And there are limited seats on these planes on the 18th. And everybody's booking out of town to go back to wherever. So don't wait until the last minute to book your flight and expect to get something for cheap if you get something at all.
Also, expect to set beside somebody like, I don't know, Terry, who, you know, had fun the night before and was riding in the back of a cab with the window down because he's turning blue.
And Mike's still having
a Guinness in there.
Bluish green.
Emerald green.
Emerald green. There you go.
But I made it to the airport.
Yes, you did.
With no incident.
Nope. It was beautiful. Nothing some spicy, hot Asian noodles can't cure, right, at the airport?
Right. Thank goodness for those.
Yes, it's a cure-all.
Good advice.
All right, on that note, I guess we'll wrap up. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you here in a week or so.
Safe travels, Terry.
Thank you.
All right, adios.
Bye, everybody.
Arrivederci.
Be sure to join the friends next week for another great discussion. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find the Friends and other content at www.friendsthatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching Friends That Carry On. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to carry on, friends.